today, how the QAnon conspiracy theory spread across America and into Europe. Conspiracy theories are nothing new.
Particularly as a teenager in high school, I was hugely invested in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Totally thought it was a conspiracy, read all the books, watched all the TV shows, did all that kind of stuff. And that eased me into being a 9/11 truther.
And for Mike Rains, not his real name, growing up in the 90s, they were fun, and he thought normal.
One day I was talking about that with a friend online. He yelled at me for being an idiot. I was confused because I just figured everyone thought 9/11 was an inside job. What do you mean you believe the government story? And then I started doing research, and then I started realizing that he was probably right and I was an idiot. And that led me into starting to ask, like, why did I fall into a conspiracy theory subculture? What was I doing? What was the point of all that?
Today, Mike is still obsessed with conspiracy theories, but now he focuses on debunking them, and he's become consumed by fighting one in particular, QAnon.
In 2018, I started hearing more and more about QAnon and how it was this big conspiracy theory and how everyone was buying into it, people were believing in it, and it sounded exactly like the Illuminati stuff that I'd been researching for decades. And that was basically just all of that. But Donald Trump's the good guy who'll save us all, which was the twist. I was like, well, I gotta get on Twitter. I gotta start engaging on this, and I gotta read up and learn more about QAnon. And then as I did, I was like, yep, this is just the same story that I've been hearing for two decades, just with a slight spin on it, with the whole Trump being a good guy thing.
Now Mike has become a kind of QAnon expert. He spends his time trying to steer people away from it and counselling people whose family members have gotten sucked in. And there are a lot of them.
Debunking this and pointing out how ridiculous it is kind of like my day-to-day agenda, because it's really terrible the damage this thing does to people. And the fact that it's gotten so incredibly popular is really kind of scary. It's scary that this has gotten as big as it has.
The stakes couldn't be higher. Last year, QAnon was identified as a potential terrorism threat by the FBI, and its believers have been linked to numerous attempted acts of violence. From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, the growing influence of the QAnon conspiracy theory in American and European politics.
I first started to hear about QAnon in the spring of 2018, which is a couple months after it had first emerged on the image board 4chan.
Julia Carey Wong is a technology reporter for Guardian US, based in San Francisco.
And there were some news reports that a militia in the Southwest was going around to homeless camps searching for pedophiles, just kind of harassing some homeless guys in the process. And reporters traced this back to a false belief that there were child trafficking rings all around the country.
And tonight, a series of popular social media videos are creating a problem for local law enforcement. A group of people believe they have uncovered a child sex trafficking site, but Tucson police say it's nothing more than an abandoned camp.
This belief was being fueled by this new conspiracy theory that had taken off that people were calling QAnon. And that's kind of when it first started to trickle up into the press.
Do you know where it had come from?
QAnon is kind of a second iteration of a conspiracy theory that took off in the U.S. during the 2016 presidential election, which came to be known as Pizzagate. Basically, John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, had his emails stolen, and they were dumped on the web, thousands of pages of very banal emails, many of which involved discussions of eating food, going to restaurants, and sometimes going to a certain pizza restaurant in the DC area that is pretty well known. And conspiracy theorists on the internet decided that they had uncovered that there was a secret code. And that actually, when he was discussing, you know, going to this pizzeria, to having pizza for dinner, he was actually secretly discussing a child sex trafficking ring that he was running with the Clintons out of the basement of Comet Pizza in Washington, D.C.
28-year-old Edgar Welch was arrested in Washington Sunday afternoon outside Comet Ping Pong, a popular family pizza parlor. D.C. police say Welch fired at least one round into the restaurant floor with an AR-15 rifle.
In December of 2016, a man armed with an assault rifle actually went to the pizzeria and fired his weapon into a supply room door, thinking that there were children being held captive behind that door in the basement. The building where this pizzeria is doesn't have a basement. There obviously were no children. But, you know, this was a man who honestly believed that there were children in peril. And it gives you a sense of how powerful this conspiracy theory has been at moving people to take action based on the flimsiest of evidence.
It sounds beyond absurd, and it was shown to be beyond absurd, although that's little comfort to the owners of Comet Ping Pong. But how did that turn into QAnon?
After the shooting, Pizzagate basically died out. The press that had been pushing this, the influencers that had been pushing this, kind of came to their senses. But in October of 2017, so about a year after Trump's election, a new figure popped up on 4chan, which is an anonymous image board that's kind of well known for having very extreme right-wing, neo-Nazi, alt-right community on some of its boards. This figure, who came to be known as Q, started posting in October and was intimating that he or they had secret inside knowledge of high-level activity that was going on inside the government that was going to bring down the Clintons, and specifically Hillary Clinton, and show her to be this great criminal. So the very first post that Q ever made on 4chan predicted, completely falsely, that Hillary Clinton was going to be arrested the next day and that this was going to set off serious riots and civil unrest. And of course, that didn't happen.
It did not happen, no.
It did not happen. But that was the first of what have come to be known as Q drops. It's been almost 3 years now. Q has posted more than 4,000 of these drops. Here they use a lot of code, a lot of language about the various government agencies. And in general, through these drops, Q has promoted a narrative wherein Donald Trump was kind of chosen to become the U.S. president by a core group of people who are trying to save the country and really trying to save the world from a secret cabal of powerful people, which includes Democrats, Hollywood celebrities, and billionaires. So basically, you've got the Clintons, Barack Obama, George Soros, who is a constant bogeyman, Bill Gates, and then Tom Hanks, Oprah Winfrey, Chrissy Teigen, a whole host of rich and famous and powerful people secretly running the world through a cabal. And a major part of what they do, supposedly, is run child sex trafficking rings. They then kill the children in order to extract their blood and drink it in order to, you know, revive their own kind of life force.
I mean, I'm laughing, but I came into this, Julia, genuinely wanting to be open-minded.
While it is almost funny that they believe that Hillary Clinton is actually drinking the blood of children, It's also really important to keep in mind that this is a very old and very common narrative, and it follows the contours pretty precisely of classic anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. So the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, a very common 20th century conspiracy theory that believed that there was a cabal of Jewish elders who were controlling the world, controlling the media, and taking the blood of children. That is a very kind of classic narrative that has never died. And even older than the Protocols is the fundamental blood libel, which is a 1,000-year-old conspiracy theory about Jews falsely accusing Jews of killing Christian babies and drinking their blood or using their blood to make matzah. This is just the same old anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that has been recast with new characters, but is using the exact same story. And a lot of that anti-Semitism has actually been expressed, you know, quite explicitly, both by Q in Q Drops and by the followers of this movement.
From the very first message, which began HRC, that's Hillary Rodham Clinton, extradition already in motion, effective yesterday, there's been so much stuff that is provable to be wrong that never happened and sounds completely unhinged. Why do people believe it?
I mean, that is the million-dollar question, right? So one of the people that I've spoken with is Mike Rains.
I really hate to think that I would have been that kind of person.
Who is a professional poker dealer and also kind of a conspiracy theory enthusiast. He's not a believer, but he's very interested in the movements that build up around them. So he is one of several moderators who helps to run a subreddit, which is kind of a message board on Reddit that is dedicated to QAnon casualties. Basically, family members and friends and loved ones who have lost somebody to this conspiracy theory, who are no longer able to really have a normal relationship with somebody in their lives because that person is no longer living in objective reality.
We're here for like people who've had family members or loved ones that have like gotten addicted to QAnon. We're here to help them out. We're like a safe space, a community play space for people to tell their stories to their fellow people that are dealing with this crisis and have to try to find understanding about why their family members have gone totally insane.
In general, the community that reads over these drops and kind of tries to decode them and come up with meaning from them will just adjust their belief system to whatever changes and shows itself not to be the case. So it's never that Q has made a mistake in what he or they said. It's always that the interpretation was mistaken.
Do we have any idea who Q is?
No. There are a lot of theories. I don't really personally have a strong opinion, except that whoever is doing this, I think, is a person that is acting with great malice, because this is a movement that is really damaging both our society on a broad level and individual people's lives.
Let's talk about scale. It's easy to dismiss this type of stuff. It sounds completely off the wall. But if we just think back to where you started, Pizzagate, I mean, that was quite serious. Someone walked into the restaurant and fired shots. Now, some reporters have said if Pizzagate was a low-budget movie, then QAnon is the blockbuster sequel. What do they mean by that?
QAnon has just taken hold in a way that Pizzagate could only dream of. I think that that is a really good analysis. And the question of how many people believe in this is really hard to pin down. Looking at the online communities, we can definitely say that it has grown significantly this past year, especially since the pandemic started. There's been huge growth in the Facebook groups that are dedicated to this. I was able to observe, you know, groups that started out with something like 10 to 20,000 members from March to August growing to have more than 200,000 members. And so overall, there are millions of people in QAnon groups on Facebook. One indication that I actually was able to glean just based on the Guardian's own traffic tools is that this summer, I think in June, one of the Q drops linked to a Guardian article that was a year old. And within 24 hours after Q posted that link, 150,000 people had gone to the Guardian website to read the article. And so that was in June, and that was, you know, even before there was a huge amount of growth in July and August. So I do think that we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, at least. I'm not sure about millions. This movement has just really grown quite a bit over the last couple of months.
Okay, so I understand how this spread from that one post on 4chan through 8chan to Facebook. But it's gone beyond that, hasn't it?
Right. One of the ways that this really broke out into the mainstream was that in 2018, QAnon followers who are also Trump supporters started showing up at his rallies and working really hard to get QAnon signs on TV behind Trump.
Hello, Florida.
They wore shirts and signs emblazoned with only the letter Q. Their numbers seemed to be growing, and they were spotted last night at President Trump's Florida rally. They are a new fringe conspiracy theory group called QAnon. I want to bring
in CNN. And this was a very effective way to get, you know, news desks to say, well, now we have a video of Trump's speech or photos of Trump's speech, and there's all these signs in them saying Q, Q, Q. What is Q?
Who are these people and what do they believe?
I think that another really effective media manipulation tactic has been running candidates for elected office. So in the past year, we've seen, I think, more than 60 QAnon supporters, you know, sign up and run for Congress, for state representative seats.
The liberal-leaning group Media Matters for America has identified 20 candidates who've qualified for the November ballot and have supported QAnon theories or used their hashtags or phrases on social media. 19 of the 20 candidates are Republicans.
You know, it creates a lot of attention.
Will any of them win?
Well, in a really concerning case in Georgia, there is a candidate who is actually probably going to win and who won a contested primary, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I'm Marjorie Greene and I approve this ad. America's the greatest country in the world. We need conservatives in Washington that will keep it that way.
For several years was blogging and posting videos about her belief in QAnon.
Q is a patriot. We know that for sure, but we do not know who Q is, okay? So now
she's also posted just vehemently racist and Islamophobic videos. And she actually won a contested primary against another Republican candidate who was pro-Trump, pro-gun, pro-life.
President Trump tweeting congratulations today to QAnon conspiracy theorist Marjorie Taylor Greene after she won a seat in the House.
And this is a deeply Republican district, and she will, you know, almost certainly be elected to Congress in November.
What does Trump have to say about all of this?
So for a very long time, Trump was both ignoring QAnon, but helping to fuel it because he has, I think, more than 100 times retweeted the tweets of QAnon followers.
More than 100 times?
Yes. I mean, it's really incredibly negligent, if not more malicious than that. In August, he was actually asked by a reporter whether or not he believed in QAnon.
24 hours or less.
At the crux of the theory is this belief that you are secretly saving the world from this satanic cult of pedophiles and cannibals. Does that sound like something you are behind?
Well, I haven't heard that, but is that supposed to be a bad thing or a good thing?
And he did not tamp down on this conspiracy theory.
If I can help save the world from problems, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to put myself out there. And we are, actually. We're saving the world from a radical left philosophy.
Instead, he said that QAnon followers love our country and like him very much. I mean, it's just outrageously reckless that he declined to debunk this false belief.
Your reporting has brought you into contact with people for whom this is all very real, family members of Q believers. One thing I'm interested in is what type of person seems to go for this. If we think back to Pizzagate, I was struck by the description of the man you mentioned who walked into the restaurant and fired a gun because he sounded so ordinary. He was a softly spoken father of two who was deeply religious. Not what you may have thought of in the past as the classic stereotype of a conspiracist. Is there a way to describe the type of person drawn to QAnon?
Mike kind of has described the stereotypical QAnon believer as somebody older, often like baby boomer generation.
The person who's addicted to QAnon is usually kind of a parent, and the person talking about them is one of their children, and they're horrified by what has happened to their parent.
Huge overlap between evangelical Christianity and QAnon. And of course, we're talking about conservatives, people who are already, in general, already are pro-Trump.
Did you get to understand why these people believe this? What it was about QAnon that appealed to them?
I don't know if I could say necessarily why people fall into QAnon. We're really living through a period in time that is, you know, it's disruptive, it's scary. The pandemic has created huge amounts of fear for people about their children and their families and their future, and a lot of anger at governments and institutions that have failed to keep us safe. Trying to make sense of that, I think that there's something very comforting about kind of latching on to a narrative that says that actually this is all the fault of Democrats, Hollywood celebrities, and billionaire Jews. And I think, you know, that narrative has been very popular at other points in history. There are real problems with the material conditions that people are dealing with, and QAnon kind of offers up a narrative that both makes that make sense. It has a built-in community. You can feel like you're in on the secret. You're one of the people that is smarter than everybody else, and you really get what's going on. I think that that can be a kind of attractive emotional pull of a conspiracy theory. And Mike talked about how, you know, this can be fun for people looking for clues. You know, there's an element that this has just become a hobby.
Kind of thing. Like, you have to catch the details. You have to catch these little things where the bad guys give up the game and reveal who they truly are. And like when you do that, if you're able to find those things, you are rewarded by the community with adulation and praise. So it encourages you to keep playing the game, to keep chasing that dopamine.
I've gotten really into houseplants and knitting during the pandemic. And a lot of people have gotten really into, you know, looking for clues in these messages and posting about it.
And you mentioned casualties. Did Mike talk about how you get people out of this?
Yeah, so he kind of compares QAnon to a substance addiction. And his advice for trying to help people come out of this kind of mirrors like a rehab process that you might follow if you had a loved one who was having a problem with some kind of drug or alcohol.
The most heartbreaking thing that I get on QAnon casualties is basically they just ask me, how do I get them back? Like, my loved one has gone insane, but what are the magic words that make them become uninsane? And I just have to tell them that it's so hard to get somebody out of a movement like this. It is so hard to shake them of their faith, because that is what they have now. They actually have a faith and they have a belief system that's predicated upon this nonsense. And
he talks about, you know, removing the substance, which for QAnon is often the internet.
What was really frustrating was like the first step that you need to break somebody from a group like this is to distance the victim from the group. And that was what I always tell people before COVID. I'd be like, well, can you take them camping for a week and just kind of get them out in the wild where their cell phone won't work and they can't go online? Because if like you can just get them off the internet for a week and just like reconnect them with nature and society and real family, like that can go a long way into like helping them like see that the world isn't this just nightmare place that they've been like programmed to believe it is. And then COVID hit, and now you just can't get them off the internet. Now they're just going to be online all the time. And,
you know, the QAnon casualties subreddit, a lot of it is just support for people that are dealing with this. Because honestly, I don't think anybody, Mike or anybody else on that Reddit board, really has easy solutions for how to pull people back from this.
These are huge companies. I mean, you mentioned 4chan and 8chan, but you've also mentioned Facebook carrying content. What is their responsibility and how have they responded to all of this?
You know, I think that almost all of the social platforms have been incredibly slow to take responsibility for QAnon and really negligent. The one exception to that is Reddit. Something like 70,000 people were subscribing to the main QAnon subreddit as of the fall of 2018, and Reddit made a call that there was so much harassment, doxing, and incitement to violence going on in this community that they said, we're banning it absolutely. And for the past 2 years, there has been no QAnon presence on Reddit except for communities like QAnon Casualties, which help people who are victims of the conspiracy theory. By contrast, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook have had just a completely hands-off approach to this. You know, the reason that I started really reporting on QAnon this past year is in April and May, there started to be a movement on Facebook of groups that were forming to protest the coronavirus lockdowns. I joined some of those groups just to report on them, and within a couple of days, Facebook started to recommend that I join QAnon groups, which I was just astonished by. I had not shown any interest in QAnon. And so I did join that group, and I joined a lot of other groups. And the more that you join the groups, the more that Facebook recommends that you join more and more and more. So you start to kind of algorithmically, Facebook was helping to draw people down the rabbit hole. And it was only just a couple of weeks ago that Facebook finally took a stand and kind of adjusted its policies to say that where QAnon followers are discussing violence, then Facebook will take those groups down. Honestly, it's just another situation that we've had with Facebook where, you know, they're closing the barn door after the horse has bolted.
Coming up, QAnon arrives in Europe. You've talked about America. Has it gone beyond America? Has it reached Europe?
It has. It's really gone international. Latin America, some parts of Asia, and Europe have all kind of seen growing QAnon movements. I know that in Europe, Save Our Children marches started to take off in recent weeks. Save our children! And there has been, again, kind of this confluence between that and then other kind of far-right groups.
Another one, this from Michael, who's in Liverpool. Hello, James. Everywhere I go, and a lot of people that I meet are talking about QAnon, child trafficking, child abuse, and the pandemic being used against us. Some even believe the virus is fake, but nobody in the media seems to be addressing any of the above subjects. I kind of get that the reply...
Groups that are kind of based on conspiracy theories about 5G have kind of adopted this, and such that you had thousands of people in London that were gathering, some of whom were carrying QAnon signs or QAnon flags. You also had a very large protest in Germany.
This march in Berlin is mostly against coronavirus restrictions, but there are a lot of QAnon supporters here. Thanks to the coronavirus, the QAnon conspiracy theory is spreading around the world like a pandemic.
You may not know the answer to this, but do you have any sense of whether the German or British or other European supporters of QAnon also buy into the Trump theory? Are they worshipping Trump through this?
I think that in general, it is adapting toward local politics. I think that in these different kind of closed networks, people can pick and choose the aspects of the conspiracy theory that work for them within the broad narrative of the powerful cabal.
So it sounds like it is bigger than Trump, which brings me to the next question I was going to ask. Does this come to an end if he's no longer in office?
One hopes. You know, I spoke to a man who lives in Texas whose wife has become a true believer in QAnon, and he is not a believer. And, you know, he was telling me that, you know, he feels very confident that once Trump is no longer in office, that this will disappear. And I would love to believe that. But when you look at kind of the longer view of what this fundamental narrative is, I mean, the blood libel conspiracy theory has existed for 1,000 years. You know, we all want to believe that World War II ended any false belief that Jews actually control the world. And yet, here we are again with a new spin on this same old conspiracy theory. So it's possible that whoever is posting as Q could be exposed. It's possible that Trump gets voted out of office, but I don't have a huge amount of optimism that this is something that's just going to go away.
Julia, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Julia Carey Wong. You can follow her reporting on QAnon and Silicon Valley at theguardian.com. My thanks to her and to Mike Rains. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Mithili Rao. Sound design was by Nicholas Cox. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.